This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.
Got nothing to watch in Dunedin? Hold on to your seats. Hi everyone, you're listening to Thoughts and Theories on ORFM, where I'll delve deeper into the meanings and messages of films, books, TV shows, and more. I'm Asha Amma Asri, and let's get into it. Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Thoughts and Theories. I'm Asha Amma Asri, and today I am joined by two wonderful guests. I've got a new one and I've got a returning one. Do you guys want to say hi?
Hey.
Hi.
Cool. All right, introduce yourselves, guys. Janelle, would you like to go first?
Yeah, well, I'm Janelle.
And I'm Shannon.
Amazing. Janelle, we've heard you before. Where have we heard you from?
I think you heard me from What the Bleep.
Yes, if you guys didn't catch that last time, it ran on last week, actually, and it was amazing. I hope you guys caught it because they had some pipes on them. I'm telling you, it was amazing. Well, today I'm here to promote some more stuff, guys. I've got, for the first half of the show, we've got a lunchtime theatre, and then for the second half, we've got people from the Globe coming, but I'll get into that a little bit more later. So I'm promoting a lunchtime theatre for you guys. What is this theatre about? Tell me, what's the name of it, first of all?
Awesome. So this show is called Synomnia. It's apparently a Latin
Synomnia.
Word.
Synomnia.
I know. Which refers to, like, dreamscapes of sounds and artistic and emotional expression through music.
Oh, damn.
I know, complicated.
It sounds very, like, artistic.
Yeah. So true.
And, like, very deep.
Yeah, I guess so.
Is this so? Am I right to assume that there's going to be, like, a lot of music stuff?
Yeah.
Show?
Yes. This show's, like, interdisciplinary. So it's, like, a mix of all the performing arts in one.
Oh, yeah. All right.
Yeah, it covers all the bases.
Right, so it's got singing, dancing.
Yeah, music, just, like, acting. Yeah.
Ooh, okay. A lot of physical theatre as well.
Oh, true. Okay. Yeah. Right. And could you give me an example?
Or it's, okay, very, actually, it's quite an interpretive show.
Right, okay. Yeah.
So it's definitely up to the audiences.
Yeah, and it's all, like, devised by us. So straight from the start of the semester, we've been working on this show, just coming up with, like, moments to put in the show. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, so everything that you see in here is, like, made by us.
So it's like a montage of moments, right?
Yeah.
Is it one continuous storyline, or is it just, like a showcase sort of thing?
It can be up to interpretation.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Exciting. It's up to you.
Yeah. How many, if you're allowed to say, how many items, quote unquote, are there?
It's
probably a tough question.
There's like 5 to 6 items, but then we go through them again.
Oh,
so we do the same thing twice.
Okay.
But yeah. Okay. Yeah.
But different.
Yeah, the same but different, and it all blends together.
Right. How did you guys come up with the, because you said you've been working on it for the whole year. Oh, the whole semester.
Yeah.
So how did the early stages of coming up with this look like?
True.
Tough.
It was a lot of like improv, I think. Just a lot of coming up with things off the top of your head and creating stuff with other people.
Right.
Yeah. It was, yeah.
How many people are involved?
Seven actors.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. Yeah. So did you guys ever have, like, a moment where you sort of, like, clashed heads because of, like, different creative ideas?
Yeah, I think that's bound to happen with any kind of devised show because there are 7 cooks in the kitchen and we all have, like, ideas that we want to bring in.
Yeah. No. I love that, by the way. 7 cooks in the kitchen.
But no, I think we've actually worked really well together. Everyone has, like, a nice push and pull. Like, there's definitely people driving it all the time, which is really nice.
That's nice.
And then there's always ideas coming up and, like, things we can go back to. Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. Who, do, if you could, feel free not to say if not, but do you know who's, like, been spearheading this whole this whole project.
True. I would say our production managers have been pretty good with driving this this project.
So are these production managers a part of the class?
Yeah. So we all have like roles in, in the show.
Nice.
Yeah.
What are your guys' roles?
I'm costume support.
Oh, nice.
Gorgeous. And I'm marketing. That's why we're here.
Oh, really? Oh, my God, that's crazy.
I know.
You're doing a great job so far.
Thank you so much. Can you tell the lecturers that, please?
Yeah. Just send me their email. Oh, no. Send them the link to this.
Yes. So
shout
true.
It to the lecturers, whoever they are.
Yes, please give me an A+.
God, no. So what are you looking forward to the audience seeing the most? Like, is there an aspect that you're particularly proud of?
Yeah, I think just the combination of, like, everything we've put into the show, there's, like, a lot of aspects to look at, like, at any one moment. There's always, like, more than one thing going on, which I think is really cool. And I'm interested to see how the audience interprets it, actually.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, cool. And when does the, for anyone who's listening, when does the show air?
So we're on Thursday and Friday next week.
Yeah.
Or this week.
This
week, yeah.
This week. So true. Yeah. So true. This week. Thursday, Friday, second and third.
Oh, second and third. Do you guys have an afternoon, evening show? Sorry.
No, just the two. Just the 1 p.m. All right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
At Allen Hall.
At Allen Hall. And that's $5 unwedged, $10 wedged. Yeah, look forward to it, guys. Because I am looking forward to it a lot. I'm very proud of myself because this semester I've been doing my best to go to as much lunchtime theatres as possible because I think it's just really cool to come and like support the fellow students and just see what the classes are coming up with, you know. Have you guys had a favourite lunchtime theatre so far this year?
Oh, well, I feel like I'm biased, but Janelle's show.
No, that was great. Actually, I went with a friend, shout out Nana, but she said that your voice in particular, Janelle, was so good. Like, it blew her away. She was in the front seat with me, and she was just like, I want to say she was really good, but I'm really shy, so you tell her. And then she ran away.
Oh, bless her heart. Oh, please.
Oh,
that's so sweet.
Yeah.
Yo, that is so sweet. Wait, did you come to the Thursday or Friday?
I came to the Friday.
Oh.
Wait, what was
deathly ill that day.
Oh, right.
I, like, ran really off coughing.
I remember in the beginning when you guys were doing, you know, when you were in front of the cyclorama, you know, you guys were like, oh, this is the wrong part of the show or something. And you guys were coughing. I'm like, ah, yes, that's very typical. And I realized after the show, I was like, oh, wait, you guys are sick. Like, I didn't realize in the show, so you're fine. You covered it
to
really
make it
well.
Work.
Yeah. What about your favorite lunchtime theater?
Oh, I'm being biased too. Oh, it's definitely a tie between Paris-Trois.
Oh, yes. Awesome.
And last night we went and saw Riding in Cars with Mostly Straight Boys.
Right, that's Hazel's piece.
Yeah.
So
good.
Yeah.
I'm going to go later.
You're
going
to enjoy it.
Yeah. I look forward to it, genuinely. Mm. Yeah. Because I know
insane.
A lot of people in it as well. Mm. It's so crazy how people we know can be so talented and you're like, there's such a duality there. Like, you're just a silly, goofy guy.
Yeah.
But then it's like, you're, like, crying on the stage right now, and I want to cry. Like, yeah. What the heck's going on right now?
It's insane.
Yeah.
100%. No, it's really cool.
So, going back onto the show, Synomnia, sorry.
Mm-hmm. No, yeah.
Who came up with the name? Because that is cool.
I believe.
Lala.
That was Lala, yeah.
Oh, beautiful Lala.
Yes, shout out. It's actually her birthday today.
Is it?
Oh, happy birthday,
Lala.
The time that we're recording this anyway. By
so
the time
true.
This airs, it's not, but like,
okay.
It's Friday right now. It's
yeah,
her
so
birthday.
True.
Shout out Lala. Happy
shout
birthday.
Lala. Mm.
Yeah, she's my bestie.
It's gorgeous.
Is she, and what role does she play?
She is prop support.
Yeah, prop support. Prop support, right.
Yeah.
Is she also in the class?
Yes, she's one of our actors too.
Actually, what class is this?
This is Perf 301.
Yeah.
Perf 301. Mm-hmm. So for anyone who doesn't know what Perf 301 is, what can they expect going into this class? Like, what does it entail? What do you study?
We definitely do a lot of, it's very interdisciplinary.
Yeah.
It's just like, it covers all the bases. Mm-hmm, like, mm-hmm. You have, like, this one assignment assessment, and it's called a solo smoothie.
Mm.
And it's a blend.
And so you blend everything that you've learned throughout, like, your 3 years, because you have to have two disciplines, two to three,
okay.
Which it can be, like, music, singing, dance,
mm-hmm.
production.
Acting, production. Yeah.
Yeah, just everything. Everything to do with performance on stage and kind of off as well.
Yeah, and then so you just mush it together and then create something, but it can't be something that's already been said, if you get what I mean.
It's all original.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Wow, okay. So it's like sort of like a devising?
Yeah, it's like the whole thing is devising.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Does that ever like cause you... like stress?
Oh, so much stress, yeah.
It's very stressful.
That was the most honesty I've gotten from you all day. So I'm assuming this is all internally assessed then?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Exams. Well, isn't that great? No exams. So does that mean that you don't really have much written work? It's all on your feet?
A lot of it is on our feet, I think.
Yeah.
We do have a little bit of written stuff, but...
I'm assuming that's like supportive work, like research and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. No, that's really interesting. So this is a 300-level paper, right? So and I'm assuming there's a lot of prerequisites in order to take this paper. But if you were going to take a perf paper at a 100-level, so, like, these are for, like, freshers, if they had no arts background, are they – would do you think they'd be able to survive in, like, a paper like this? So I say survive because I can't sing.
No, that's for real.
Stuff like that. So because I think these are some really valid worries that a lot of people have, and they think it's like too late, quote unquote, to start, because a lot of people had singing lessons or dancing lessons when they were kids and stuff.
No, totally. I think the good thing about performing arts at uni, they start really like base level, and so like you can totally get into things, and I think you just have to like go for it, and then like it really pays off when you're at this level and you can work with other people who have different skill sets. Right. And then, like, because somebody, like, you always bring something to the table, like, no matter who you are. I think that's really important. Yeah.
I like that. That's awesome.
Oh. Yeah, I feel like you got to definitely do it with an open mind.
Yeah.
And then, like, don't be afraid to look stupid. Like, because...
I think I agree with that one,
Like, everyone thinks that they look stupid, but in reality, you don't. Which is quite nice. And it's, like, it's just definitely... It's quite freeing, I think.
I agree with that. I mean, I've never taken a perf paper myself, but before the improv paper got taken away, I really enjoyed that. And a lot of people were really scared going into it because a lot of people from different courses of study come in, like some people doing law, you know, English, linguistics, you know, all that sort of stuff. And they're like, oh, my God, I'm going to have to go on stage without a script and just, like, make something up. I'm going to look stupid. Actually, when you do, you know, what you consider stupid, that is actually when you make the funniest and best scenes ever because it's so true to the moment. And I think it's really freeing. It teaches you a lot about how to deal with people, I think.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And would working for someone else.
Would you say learning taking these perf papers, it prepares you for the real world?
Yeah.
Yeah.
100%.
In what way?
It teaches you how to cooperate, I would say.
Yeah, 100%.
It teaches you to let go of your own ideas that you think are really good.
Oh,
and, like, let go of your babies, as Hillary says.
Yeah, true.
It teaches you to...
She says that's nice. My my script writing teacher says, oh, yeah, kill your babies.
You got to kill your babies.
I'm so sad.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, it's quite true. Nice. All
right, awesome. To wrap up, I'd say, I wanted to ask one final question, but that question is sort of like it's a big umbrella sort of question, right? So with lunchtime theatres and like taking perf papers and stuff like that, what is the one thing that you can sort of take away from the whole experience and what you want the audience to take away?
It's a really good question. I think
for
this show in particular, it's really based on like memories and
the roots of us.
Yeah, connections with other people. And it's kind of, I hope it's going to be like thought provoking and like people's in the audience's own lives. Yeah.
Okay. So it's a lot of like introspective
things. Yeah.
Definitely. And then I would like to see the audience like almost like slot themselves in and see if they can like
I love that
picture themselves, like do it, like if anything like resonates with them or anything. Because I feel like it's quite, because the show is kind of based around our own experiences as well.
Yeah.
And, like, so I feel like if anyone, I feel like they're all quite, they're very abstract, but I feel like if you could probably unpack it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I'd love to see if they can picture themselves
right
in the show.
Would you say if they watched it twice, they would understand it more, or they'd have like different outtakes or something?
Yeah,
I feel like they have a very different idea if they watched it.
Hey, that guy, watch it twice.
Yeah, watch it twice. So true.
Sorry, I know I said that was the last question, but I lied.
Okay.
You guys are just so great to talk to. But so you said it was based off of your own experiences, right? Sort of. Hmm. Could you sort of like take that apart a bit more? I'm kind of curious. What does that mean?
Don't we take this one?
Yeah.
You got this. So it was one of our exercises earlier in the class where we had to, it was also part of our like smoothie solo thingies. Mm-hmm. And we kind of talked about like our own experiences and like kind of like our memories and like our roots.
Yeah.
Like what does roots mean to you? And like some people were like, oh, the garden. And then some people was like, oh, me back home. And then other people was like, oh, April had this morbid story about someone ate something and then like a seed or something. What was it?
Oh, yeah.
It started growing in their teeth or something.
Oh,
like
my gosh.
That.
Oh. It went up their nose. The seed went up their nose and it grew out the eye.
Oh, my gosh, you got it right.
That sounds painful.
So that was, yeah, and that's where we all started.
So they took the word roots, literally.
Yeah.
I love that.
So many people took it in so many different ways. And then, like, there's one part in the show that comes from someone that's very personal. Like, it's a very personal experience for them. And so we did use it. We made sure that they were okay with us using their solo within the show.
Yeah.
And then I feel like it's quite heavy, I'd say, for that person, but it's so beautifully done, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah, no.
So, like, I think it's quite a very personal thing for all of us for the show, because it's all of our feelings, our emotions, our experiences.
Yeah, it feels quite vulnerable.
And so I feel like, yeah. And, like, as it goes on, it's like everyone else's experiences kind of all mushed together.
That's so sweet, though, I think. I think this is one of the reasons why I love watching, like, live theatre or anything, like, anything involving arts, like, when people share their art and things like that, whether it's, a piece of writing, like, a painting, a photography picture that they took, or live theatre in this case, because you cannot ever completely separate the artist from the art. So when you see and consume something like this, you are sort of taking in a part of the artist. And I think there's something so beautiful. And Shannon, you said it was very vulnerable and it's very personal to other people, as you said as well, Janelle. And I just think more people need to appreciate art. Like it's because it's such a human thing. Robots could never, you know.
Yeah.
Say no to AI. Sorry.
but yeah.
But, like, it's really interesting how you guys talk about roots specifically. Did you guys want to share, like, what is home to you guys? What is your roots? What were your answers for the smoothie project? If you're willing to share.
I'm trying to cast my mind back. It was a while ago now.
Back in July.
Yeah. My smoothie project was based on, like, home as in, like, the feeling. So it was, like, I have my, like, childhood teddy and I, like, wrote a song that played, like, I don't know, I, like, composed a production for it. and it was just kind of like a sequence of, like, when you're growing up, like, your teddy is, like, your most important thing and then at some point they get cast aside and like other things are more important. And then it was kind of like coming back to your roots, dare I say, coming back to, your like morals and like original things, like to make your younger self proud. That was kind of what it was.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Yeah.
Oh, mine was a bit weird. I did like my story about
roots
and my story about roots, my solo about roots were completely different. But my solo was I went back to like my roots of like when I started like theatre and stuff and how I grew up with having imposter syndrome the whole time because I always felt like wasn't good enough, couldn't do it. Like why am I even here? And then I just sang a song, talked a little bit.
Right, that's awesome. Yeah. I think that whole imposter syndrome thing, that is so true. I think every artist goes through it and it's absolutely debilitating. Like, because it's so true. You are your own worst enemy. It's just like the call's coming from inside the house kind of thing.
Yeah. Oh my God.
That's who's your biggest hater? Look at your reflection. I'm so sorry. It's too early for this. All right. Did you guys want to give any shout-outs to your fellow classmates or anyone working on the project?
Yes, we do.
We 100% do.
Shout-out to Maggie, April, Isabella, Lala, Devontae, Shannon,
Janelle. We're the actors. We are the people making the show.
Oh, and a massive shout-out to Isabella because she's been the scribe.
True.
The whole time. So everything we do in class, she writes down every little bit of every single class. And we have 2 to 3 hour classes and then like 2 to 3 hour rehearsals. Yeah. So massive shout out to Isabella, absolutely. Our little keyboard warrior.
Wow, that is amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, shout out to Isabella as well then. That's great.
Yo.
Yeah. All right. So just a reminder for anyone listening, the name of the show is Synomnia. It goes on to Allen Hall Thursday, Friday, 1 p.m. And that is the 2nd and 3rd of
October.
Yeah. I know my months, guys. Definitely. I don't have to count my fingers.
Sorry. Oh, I love it.
Oh, my God. All right. Do you guys have any last words you wanted to say to the listeners or anything?
Well, if you're afraid of phones, don't come.
But yeah, if you love that's phones, come fear. Along. Oh my
God. Wait, there's a name for that fear. What was it?
Fear?
Yeah, I mean, there's a name for every
that's
fear.
True,
that's true.
Like, I think there's, God, I don't know.
Phonophobia?
Phonophobia? Yeah,
so true.
Yeah.
Fear that, don't come along.
All right, okay, cool. So that's the only, I guess, trigger warning there is. phones?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, I'd say so.
Right. Mm. All right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. Thank you guys so much for coming onto the show. We're going to have a wee break. And these guys have prepared a song for the live listeners. What song is it?
Payphone by Maroon 5.
Why?
Because our production's about phones.
Okay. All right. Interesting. All right, guys. I hope you guys enjoy that. And if you guys are listening as a playback, rip, I guess. But I'll see you guys later. All right. Bye, guys.
Bye. Thank you.
Thank you.
And welcome back, guys. I hope you guys enjoyed that wee break. Unfortunately, we had to say goodbye to Janelle and Shannon. But we are joined by some special guests as well today for The Globe. The Globe is doing a show called Lords and Ladies, and I am joined by 3 members of the cast. Going to my right. Yeah, going to my right. Would you like to introduce yourself and then your character?
Absolutely, I would love to. My name is Aoife Kaptein. I'm 21 years old and I am playing the Queen of the Elves in the Globes play.
Amazing.
I'm Steve Parker. I'm significantly more than 21 years old. And I play Rid Cully, Arch-Chancellor of Unseen University.
Amazing.
Kia ora, I'm Sheena Townsend and I am playing Cassin Nunda, who is the world's second greatest lover and an expert swordsman.
And an outrageous liar, so don't necessarily believe anything she says.
Oh, okay.
It's on your card. You wrote it there.
Oh, that's amazing. So for anyone who doesn't know what Lords and Ladies is, like, what is it about?
So basically the play is, I think, one of Terry Pratchett's books adapted to be put on stage. And we follow our main character, Margaret Garlick, and the difficulty she sees in the days leading up to her wedding, including her encounters with lords and ladies, which is another name that we use for the elves.
Oh, okay. And the elves aren't, like, good? Is that the question?
I mean, I think they're great.
Of course, you're the queen of the elves. You would think that, yeah.
They're not so much the pretty, long-lived Tolkien elves that know everything. They're more the sort of dastardly old Celtic idea of mischievous sprites in the woods coming to curdle your milk. And, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
They're very glamorous. So when you see an elf, it looks very beautiful. Mm. But it's all a bit of a trick.
Yeah. Well, I actually went to see the play the other day. And what was it that one of the characters said? It's like they give you a reflection of what you find the most beautiful, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Which is actually really, really cool.
So they play on what you want to see, basically, to make themselves look the most appealing to you as they can.
Right. Okay. So tell me a little bit more about your guys' character. Very, very excited. I'd like to hear from you first, Steve, because that sounded hilarious. And then I'd like to hear.
Well, I don't know about hilarious. It's more sort of dignified and powerful, wonderful, very handsome, magnificent beard, brilliant robes, of course. No, Arch-Chancellor Ridcully, head of the Unseen University. It's the major magical institution on the Discworld. All the best mages in the world come from there.
Right.
And we're traveling.
Of course you would say that.
I mean, well, yes, I would, yes, but I'd also be correct, yes.
Okay, okay.
Which I am also always correct. And yeah. I can't remember ever being wrong, and certainly no one would have ever pointed it out to me at the time whether I was.
Sure,
but yeah,
sure.
We're
sorry.
No, it's right. It's true. It's 100% true. And we're traveling to the tiny kingdom of Lenka for the royal wedding between Magd Garlic and King Verence of Lenka. And I sort of grew up in that area. So I've got a bit of an old flame there who I haven't seen for several decades as well.
I know you tried to reminisce a lot and no one actually wants to listen to you.
Yeah, which is a constant problem. People should listen to me more, I think.
Not when we're running from trolls.
Priorities.
Oh, gosh.
Listen to me way up here. Danger to your life way down, down on the list.
Fair.
All right, I want to hear from you, Sheena.
Yeah, so I play Cassanunda. Cassanunda is an interesting character in this story, so not central to the plot in any sort of a way.
Well loved, but I guarantee.
I think so. So Cassanunda travels the world, finding fortune, and comes across our wizards. How much of the plot? I don't want to give too much of the plot away, but has an encounter with the wizards, but changes his approach and ends up joining their group and traveling along with them. They do encounter some other magical beasts, some trolls, and he's very much along for the ride and very much a better player of card games than Steve.
How dare you?
Yes.
How dare you?
So I beat.
Shots fired.
I beat Steve.
Absolutely.
In a game of Cripple Mr. Onion.
But once. One time.
Well.
She's held it over my head.
Well, there we go. So, but I also have loves scattered all over Discworld and reunite with one of my favorites. Nanny Og. Nanny Og is wonderful. Mm. I also love Nanny Og. So Cassanunda.
Yeah, we see that a lot in the play.
Yes, Cassanunda has many loves, but Nanny Og is a very special place in Cassanunda's heart. So Cassanunda's character is height challenged, so vertically challenged, and as an actor, I am as well. So uses a variety of interesting props to help with the vertical challenges
that I have. That was one of my favorites. I was cackling in the front seat.
A person of lesser stature needs to use everything they have at their disposal. So it's been a lot of fun to play Cassanunda.
That's great.
With the wonderful actors in this show. So it's, yeah.
Yeah, it seems like you guys have a big cast as well. But Aoife, Queen of the Elves.
Yes.
Trickster, huh?
I mean, the best character in the play, of course.
You're pretty, very glamorous.
Very glamorous. Well, the elves are... I think, as Steve said, they're not like Tolkien elves at all. They've got a very very fun being. So they have they lack creativity, and they are afraid of iron and affected by iron. So the Queen of the Elves is has no humor, not a funny bone in her body, and wants to also marry King Verence so that she can get closer to Lankar and its people for the power.
So that's the drama. All right, I see.
Yes.
I see. So a love triangle, but like not in the usual way.
Like a love arrow.
Yeah, a love arrow. Yeah, that's what it is.
Yes.
Love angle.
There you go.
That's what it is. Yeah. Yeah. So since you're the queen, surely you have like some really loyal subjects to you, or like some cool followers.
I do. I have my loyal right-hand man, Lankin, and then my favorite little elf, Elf One.
unique.
Me. Yes. I have some very loyal followers.
I'm very happy to hear that.
Yes.
I'm so sorry. Oh, my God. Okay, I have a question for all of you. So anyone can pop up and answer. But what is one thing that you hope that the audience will enjoy the most? Like, what do you think they should be looking forward to?
Wow. Oh,
honestly, Cassananda, you're my favorite character.
You bring so much light.
Every interaction on stage is just chef's kiss.
Thank you. It's really fun to play. It's fun to watch the audience. So comic relief is fun. I think people should just come to just let themselves go and watch this show and just get lost in it. So there are some deep thought aspects to the play to the story, but you're having so much fun. So just come and just get lost in this magical world. That's what it's for. Steve, how about?
Well, as much as I love to talk about how great the actors are, for no particular reason, but I do, I have to say the props and the costumes and the sets,
yes,
all done almost single-handed by our magnificent director, Sophie, are just absolutely brilliant. Any time that I had a chance to just sit in the auditorium watching rehearsals and stuff and just see how everything interacted and looked, it's just brilliant. Some of the little tricky things that she had bits of sets do are just magnificent, because it's quite a small stage. You don't have a lot of room to play with, but she makes every inch of it work. It's brilliant.
Sometimes I wonder if she's a bit of a magical being herself, because we'll be in rehearsal on a Tuesday and there's no set on stage, and then we'll come in on a Thursday and suddenly half of everything is done. There are standing stones, things have been painted, everyone's costumes are done. So she works with magic, really.
Yeah. And it seems like she's a little bit of a, like, you know, a jack of all trades, because I know one of your classmates got injured, so she had to step in. Is that right?
Yeah. And did an incredible job.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
She does everything. Yeah. I don't think we're necessary. She could probably do all of it herself.
One woman play. Hell yeah. That's exactly what we want.
I would go and see that. I really would. I think she'd do brilliantly.
Because you guys have a very large cast. It would be so comical to see one person just play all these, like, 20 characters running around. You foiled my plan. Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
We should try that this weekend. Sophie.
Yeah. We're all injured.
That's the plan for the after party. Yeah. I would say, actually, watching it, the dress, the queen's dress when she trans, when she puts it on, is so gorgeous. So I do agree with the whole, like, sets and the costume thing. Like, I think it really pulls everything together, because because it's a whole new world, right? There are witches, there's magic and all this stuff. So to see people actually living and playing up the part is, like, the audience is part of it. Speaking of the audience being part of it, I don't know if this is like something you usually do, Sheena, but, like, I was there at the night where you gave your weapon to some of the people in the front audience, and that was that was the funniest thing. I was, like, crying. It was so good. I had no experience with that.
I do. I need some help with my props, so I give it to I do that every night. Someone gets to help keep an eye on the wizards, including Steve.
Yeah.
While I take care of the coachman, so.
Oh, yes, taking care of.
Yeah, there are things to take care of, and I need, you know, assistance.
It's great. Yeah. So, you hear that, folks? If you guys want to have a little bit of an interaction, try and see if you can snag a front row seat. Speaking on front row seat, though, where can we find the play? When is it on and things like that?
It's on the 26th and 27th. It's tonight and tomorrow night at 7:30. And then on Sunday there's a matinee show at 2 o'clock. And then next week on the 3rd and 4th, two 7:30 shows.
Right.
And you can check out globetheatre.org.nz, and that will give you all the info and take you through to the ticket sales website.
Awesome. Thank you. And that's just on London Street, right?
Yes, it is. Okay. And there are some door sales available there will definitely be door sales for this evening. Maybe not for tomorrow and Sunday. So, tickets are going going quite quickly.
Because October 4th, that's your last show.
Yes. Right?
Okay, guys. So you guys have to get in quick. I remember trying to get the matinee show, and my friend texted me and she was like, oh, my God, the tickets have all been sold out. And I was like, what? Yeah. And I almost spat out my coffee. And then I was just like, oh, wait, no, we had to refresh it. And then it was like, it worked. But, like, we were the last two. Like, it was pretty much a full house that day. It was insane.
Yeah.
So how much are our tickets? Is there like a student price and stuff?
Yep, full price is 30. The student concession and for seniors as well is 25. Children under 14 are $20, and you can get Nanny Og's discount because she's such a lovely lady.
She is.
Nanny Og, she's wonderful. She'll give you 50% off if you buy four or more tickets. While we're talking about that sort of thing, if I could, this is my first job with the Globe. I don't know if they do this all the time, but they've done this magnificent full color brochure of like the cast of the program, basically, of everything.
Yes.
It looks so great. And that's like $12 at the door. So if you've got an extra few bob, you should pick that up. The photography is magnificent.
Right. We shout out to our photographer and our production manager for putting that incredible program together. It's
awesome.
Truly magnificent.
So in the program, there's like some exclusive promo photo shoots in there then?
Yeah.
Yes.
Right, okay.
There's even a little quiz to keep you interested.
Yes.
To make sure you paid attention to the play. A little test at the end. Yeah.
Oh, God. Yeah, we all love to be tested.
Absolutely, don't we?
Well, I'm sure, Steve, you nailed it because you know everything, right?
Absolutely. Of course I do. Ask me anything. I'll answer you.
All right. What's 7 times 8?
56.
Ooh.
Oh, I actually don't know.
You know what? That's one of the few sums I can do in my head. You just happened to hit the right one.
Wow.
That's brilliant.
Wow. Well, did you just admit to not knowing something?
No. You must have misheard me.
Oh, God.
Shocking, shocking.
Shocking, wow.
You'd think professionals would pay more attention to the things that the guests say, the very important guests.
Yeah, of course.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. So, you guys, who is your favorite character in the show that isn't yourself?
Oh, I'm glad you put the last bit on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Important. Sorry. It is important. Very important, yeah.
Yeah. Should we just pick each other? That'd be nice.
No.
No.
Anyone that is not in this room.
What? But I already said Kesananda. No. I think Kesananda is for sure one of my favorites. This incredible stage presence. But I also just love the wizards as a whole are incredible to watch. I think there's actually just no character that I don't like. Everyone has their own like magic and magnificence about them, and different flavors of whimsy. So everyone is very fun.
I love that word, whimsy.
Whimsy,
so good.
Very true. I would like to nominate the librarian, one of the two puppeted characters in the play, done very brilliantly by Brent. An orangutan, who is, of course, the librarian at a magical university is an orangutan. Why wouldn't it be, actually?
He doesn't like being referred to as a monkey.
No, he does not. Do not call him monkey.
Do not.
It goes badly, very badly.
Definitely. It is very hard to decide. But Nanny Og, played by Laura Wells, is just magnificent, rich character. Kesananda loves her as well, but I love the work that she's done with that character. I also, with a special mention to the bursar played by Chris.
Oh my God, such lunacy.
The kookiest, the
brilliant
craziest
chaos.
Dialogue ever. That just the most random utterances. He's wandering around on dried frog pills for most of the show and says some truly crazy things that require me to control my laughter. It took me a while to not laugh out loud.
No, absolutely. That is true. Like, I remember there was one scene where he wasn't speaking, someone else was, but I couldn't help but have my eyes drawn to him because he was exchanging rings with a corpse. And then he was just like, you know, admiring himself and then crying over the corpse and then admiring himself again. And then he would switch out the rings and then cover the body. And then it's like, I was just like, this guy is magnificent. Like, I love it. Like, how can you steal the stage without even having to utter a single word during that moment?
Yeah.
Everyone in the cast is so, so talented, and I'm so glad that I was able to catch the show, which is why I'm forcing everyone who's listening to this right now to go and watch. But my favorite characters, I would say, like, I can't even choose one. It has to be the two witches in the very beginning. Like, they were so good. Like, I don't know who the actors' names are, but they're both so good. So it's Nanny Og and...
So that's Megan and Laura.
Yeah. They're both so good. Like, such phenomenal acting from them. And I was, like, up front, right? So I was just like, whoa.
And they work so well off of each other. And they have this beautiful... Mm. If you see them off stage, they're both, like, so lovely and fun. And then they get on stage and they both have their presence and their power, which they both handle just so elegantly. It's truly a pleasure to watch them.
That is awesome. Yeah, no, 100%.
I think it's easy to think, so the arts are really underinvested. We know in Sweden.
Yeah.
And there is a small amount of professional theater happening, but there are also some really good quality non-professional amateur theater happening that I think people would be surprised to get out and see how good some of these people are. There's a huge amount of talent in town, on stage and behind. So our production manager, Lizzie, and stage managers, so we have three stage managers, Kate, Nick, and Emily, who's also in the cast in some ways. And so just all of those pieces, bits and pieces come together. Jordan, who designed the lights, and Louisa on the sound, and some wonderful young men from King's. King's High School that have come and done operation in our tech booth. So the names
Eli and Ethan.
Eli and Ethan. Yes, that's right. So we just met them because they came in and joined to do the operation. And so shout out to King's for loaning us this upcoming talent. So yeah, really.
Wow,
cool.
This is really cool. So it's really people from all over coming in to create this beautiful piece. So I'd imagine you guys get along really well with your fellow workmates and classmates and things like that.
Sometimes too well, actually. We often get told to get shushed backstage.
Yeah.
Biggest Laura, compliment, though.
Nanny Og, Laura, played by Laura, is our shusher.
Yep.
She does it very well.
She does. It's very scary.
Wow, oh my gosh. That's amazing. What is your guys' favorite behind-the-scenes moment? Or like the most like kooky one? That Sai has a story.
Yeah, this is a bit personal, but I'm a very hot-blooded person. You can see sitting here, I'm perspiring because I'm very hot all of the time. I came to Dunedin because it's cold, and I was hoping I wouldn't sweat quite so much. That has not worked at all.
Oh, no.
But it does mean that I've always got like personal fans on me, electric fans. I've got two in my bag, just there on the wall,
right.
And towels in my pocket, everything all the time. And people tend to look at me like I'm a bit of a lunatic because I've always got fans on me.
Right.
But the other day, it got a little bit warm for the old matinee, and I had three people come up and borrow my fans. they called me mad, but who's mad now? Yes.
There's a method to his madness.
Yes, that's there's right. a method to your madness.
So that's my favorite backstage story.
That's
it's that
awesome.
I was right.
I was right, and you were all wrong.
That's right. Yeah, I was typecast as Rid Cully.
Oh, my God. Oh,
there's lots of little quirky stories, but my favorite backstage thing is it always happens in every show, and I think it's a Universal Theater thing. Happened in Canada, it happens here, is that just before the show starts, people are in the wings, and no matter what you're doing, what role you are or who you are, everyone does a little boogie. And I don't know why.
True.
There's the
so
backstage
true.
Waiting to go on
it's
stage boogie.
Boogie.
And you make like eye contact with people. You can't say anything. But there's something magical about that moment. And the announcement comes on and the lights go and the music starts and the actors are doing that boogie. And it's just like, I'm home when that happens.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Yeah, it's really special.
Yeah, I totally agree. Mine is a little less deep and wonderful than that. I often come into the theater relatively early to get ready because I have some quite elaborate makeup. It takes me a little bit of time to get in there. But with me there always is our Granny Weatherwax, Megan, and she... Before she started doing this outside, sprays this lovely white glittery hairspray on her hair to look old. And I always love the moment that somebody walks into the room and just begins hacking because they inhale just mouthfuls of glitter. And I think that's very fun, having the environment backstage with all the glitter sort of flitting around the room.
Yeah, oh, my God. Wait, that reminds me. Speaking of glitter, I know you have, as the Queen of Elves, you have quite dramatic makeup and things like that. How long does it take you to... Because I'm assuming you do your own look.
I do.
Right. It looks gorgeous, by the way.
Thank you. Doing it the first time took me a little while to get the colours right and the shapes and stuff. And now it takes me a solid 25 minutes to do, so it's a lot quicker than what I did the first time. Slap a bunch of color on my face, blend it in a little bit.
Amazing.
Looks
you got
beautiful.
A little artiste. Thank you. Yeah. God, everyone looks beautiful though in their costumes and everything. It's just so, so cool. For anyone who's hoping to sort of like get involved in more local theatre or like with the Globe specifically, since you guys are seasoned veterans, do you guys have any advice for the youth out there who wants to get into this sort of thing?
Just do it.
Just go, yeah. Mm.
Just
don't
wait.
To your auditions.
Yeah.
Just do it.
Yeah,
right,
there you go.
Style.
Real.
Yeah.
Follow social media accounts for various theaters. I had done theater in Canada before, and then I moved to New Zealand, and I didn't have a community here. And one day, I just was having a midlife crisis or something, and I Googled auditions in Dunedin, you know. So, but if you follow the websites and the Facebook pages and things for the different theaters in town and different groups, so the Globe, the Playhouse, in particular, and Fire Station in Mosgiel, they'll announce auditions. They'll put out posts looking for volunteers to help. You know, you can help with a working bee. And then get to know people and then, you know, find your place. There's something for everyone.
Yeah.
And the people are really nice too.
They really are.
So don't feel intimidated. They're all lovely. I reached out from the middle of nowhere and was given a tour of the theatre, just invited in to check everything out. It was
really
amazing.
Oh, that's so cool. Yeah. Because I know, because I was talking about this earlier on in the episode with the other guests I had on, and I was just saying how there are some people who worry that they're too late to start theatre or acting and things like that because they've got no experience.
Just like everything else that you ever do, you know, you start from somewhere and just give it a shot, get into it. No one's judging you. Everyone's here to have a good time. Some of us are more fortunate to start theatre earlier than others, but if you're 75 years old and you want to get on the stage, do it.
Do it. Just do it. No, okay, awesome. I love that.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much for coming onto the show, guys.
Thank you.
It has been an
absolute
pleasure to have you on. Do you guys have any last words or last shout-outs or anything that you wanted to say to the audience?
Come watch the show.
Come watch the show. Get involved in local theater. Support the arts.
Yeah.
It's part of what is wonderful about being human.
It's what
doing
life
this
is
stuff
for.
Together. It's what life is for.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Do
yeah.
it. Just get out there and get in. Get in, Oti Poti.
Yeah. Hell yeah. Awesome. Thank you so much, guys. As you guys know, just a wee reminder, the last show is October 4th. You guys can get tickets on Humanitex or at the Globe. Free Palestine. Please boycott Coca-Cola, Disney, and McDonald's. And have a wonderful day, guys. Thank you so much. Thank you all for joining me today on Thoughts and Theories. I hope you've learned something new or taken away something to think about. I hope to see you all next time. Till then, this has been Thoughts and Theories with Asha Amma Asri.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.